There's a very basic question that the Mefarshim ask on the opening few words of the Parsha, and there's a very basic answer that the Mefarshim give. But this answer, I believe, is a theme that runs throughout the entire Parsha's Re'eh. And it's an important lesson that we have to internalize and apply to our lives on many, many different levels. So the Pasuk begins, the Parsha begins, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom. Re'eh, see that I'm giving in front of you today, bracha v'klala. And the Farshim point out that there's a change in from lashon yachid to lashon rabim. It says re'eh, speaking to the individual, and then it says ani anochi nosein lefnechem to the rabim. So how come the very same pasuk the switches from yachid to lashon rabim? That's a very basic question that, as I said, many mefarshim ask. The pasuk later on in the parsha, pasuk says losis godedu, which the Gemara learns you're not supposed to create agudos. There shouldn't be different factions, different groups that are chalukim elu aleilu. They're divided amongst each other. The Gemara explains that, but two bati dinim in one city, that's not a concern. How come two bati dinim are permitted? So one time the Chavetz Chaim was asked by an individual about the different types of Jews that we have, the different sects of Hasidim, that there's some groups that enjoy learning over davening, other groups enjoy davening over learning, others like to sing, others like to dance. What is the world in all these different types? Why can't there be some level of uniformity? Why can't they all accomplish the same thing, learning, davening, singing, and dancing together? And so Chavetz Chaim Kedarko answered in a mashal and said, before you ask me why the Jews have many different groups, why don't you ask the Russian Tsar, why does he have so many different types of soldiers and military? He's got ground troops. He's got soldiers that ride horses. He's got those who are overseeing the cannons. He has the Air Force. He has the Navy. What's the need for this? Why can't you just have one group, everyone accomplishing the Navy and the Air Force? And the obvious answer is because each one plays a certain role. You can't have the same person on the ground working the cannons, working the tanks, working the horses. Each one plays a tremendous role, and one without the other will be a tremendous hole in the military. So too says the Chavetz Chaim, that we are in this world to fight against the Yetzer Hara as a tzibur, as a community, as a nation. And each group of Hasidim or Misnagdim have their role of attacking and protecting against of all Klai Yisrael. There are those who sing, and that singing scares off the Yetzer Hara. And there are those that dance, and the dancing wards off the Yetzer Hara. And there are those who focus on learning, and those who focus on davening, and those who focus on chesed. Each one plays a tremendous role in protecting all of Am Yisrael from the Yetzer Hara. The idea is that they're individuals, they're individual groups, and then there's the larger picture. What's going on here is that there's a difference between diversity and uniformity. There's the individual, and then there's the community. There's selfishness, and then there's selflessness. There's the klal, and then there's the prat. And throughout life, we have to find that proper balance of being individuals, yet being part of the community. Being selfish sometimes, and being selfless. That klal and prat. So though the factions of different sects of Hasidim play different roles, they all come together as one large nation. And this really we encounter in many areas of life. When it comes to community affairs, there's some people who give very much to the community, to a shul, to the kehila. They dedicate their life just helping out. And oftentimes these people do it under the radar. They're doing the small little things that people are not interested in doing. People take for granted, like those who take care of the mikvah, those who take care of the catering, those who take care of the cleaning up. Sometimes such individuals are so dedicated, they don't make time for their family and for their children and for their spouse. This has been a struggle for children of rabbis, children of community leaders, children of very hard workers, doctors, lawyers, investment bankers. Others, on the other hand, have a very tight-knit family, very close, very involved in their spouse and children's lives. But they don't necessarily give up for their community, for their kehila. They don't contribute. I'm not talking financially, I'm talking about in terms of time and effort. They come to shul, they come and go. They free ride off the hard work of a few men and women as they put the blood and sweat and tears into a shul, into an organization, into an institution. And the men who just take these free rides and take advantage of it. They don't offer to help with programming, with setting up for Yomim Noraim, with Shalosh Shuddish, with security, whatever. There's so much that is part of putting a shul, a yeshiva, an institution together. And many people don't recognize this or don't care. And there's a scale between family and community, and it's different for each person, how much person could, but it has to be, it can't be at any of the extremes. It has to be somewhere in the middle where you strike a balance. What one person's ratio of family time to community time might be different than someone else's, what he needs to do. But it has to be some balance, somewhere in between. And this is true when it comes to Limud Torah. There's Limud Torah that is learned by the individual over the Chavrusa. And then there's a Limud Torah that one goes to Shiurim and hears from a Rebbe. A person hears from a Rebbe, a passing on the tradition, the Mesorah, preserving the Torah. That's the community, that's the Klal. But being Mechadish, a person learning on their own, as an individual, it's a tremendous thing. This is what I'm talking about. Being mechadish their own chidushim in Torah. And allowing a person's own input as the Torah and halacha evolves with the world and the changing of the world. But it has to be in the framework of the klal, the framework of the halacha, the framework of logic. The parsha describes, this big parsha describes a lila regel. When Am Yisrael would go 3 times a year to Har Bayis on the Shlosh Shagolim. And the Sefer Chinuch explained that this was supposed to be a recharge, because the pasuk says Ki Mitzion Teite Sora, that Torah emanates from Tzion, from Yerushalayim, from Har Bayis, and we're supposed to go 3 times a year to recharge, to hear this grand drasha, the klal, the tzibur, but then to go back home and take that energy and learn as an individual. The Amshel Shlomo has an epic hakdama. Rav Shlomo ben Yechiel Luria Maharshal lived in the 16th century Poland. So in his well-known sefer called the Amshel Shlomo, he grapples with the question of Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. How could it be possible that Moshe Beinu heard on the very same topic Aser, Mutter, Chayiv, Pater, Tomei Tahor? How could there be so much machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And the Gemara says, Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. It says the Yamshe Shlomo, says Rav Shmuel, Shlomo rather ben Yechiel, Luria. Moshe Beinu didn't hear every single word, every single shita out there. But all of Am Yisrael was present at Har Sinai. And there are these kolos, these sounds, which the Pesukim described that we saw sounds. You can't see sounds. But here we saw, and roe here means we literally saw. Roe is also an Indian of re'e. Re'e, this farm talks about how re'e is ochacham, how roe is hanolad. Ria, seeing, is understanding. So each member, each neshama of ours was present at Har Sinai. And we each saw, because there are these 70 kolos, 70 pipelines of chachma coming out of Har Sinai. And each of us saw in our own unique way, our own perspective. So it came from the same source, that klal. There's this tzibur, the Torah, but then it broke down to the prat. And however our neshama connects, however our neshama saw that chachma, that's how we create our own chidushim, our own perspective in the framework of that klal. So we see even in Limud Torah, there's that essence of klal, attending shiurim, getting mesorah from a rebbe, and the prat, the individual learning, the chavrusa learning. And the klal prat even happens on a family level. Being together as a family, as a group, for dinner, for a simcha, for a yom tov, for a vacation, it's fun. But sometimes it's just spending time, but there's no substance. It's sometimes just a klal of getting together, but there's no prat, there's nothing meaningful. Sometimes I feel that family, parents want to just get together just to say they got together, that we spent yontif together. And everyone's ready to pull each other's hair out. The grandparents who are used to an empty, quiet, clean house, having 15 grandkids wreck the place, and they don't enjoy it, but as long as they're together, the klal is there. But the relationships are sometimes empty. It lacks meaning, lacks depth. The family times are important, and I would certainly encourage it, but it can't overlook the more important aspect, the individual attention and the care that each child needs, the prat. Even children who have moved out of the house, gotten married, raising their own children, need the prat, need the individual attention from their parents. You need to have that, both that klal and the prat. I think it's very important, this balance, when it comes to having company for Shabbos and going out for meals. It has to be balanced. It can't be every Shabbos the same way. Being part of the tzibur, socializing, going to kiddushim, getting to know other members of the shul, of the community, is very healthy and very much encouraged. That's the klal. But it cannot be at the expense of the children. There needs to be time at the Shabbos Suda to discuss their days and their week in yeshiva and in school. And that's the prat. It has to have that proper balance. And when it comes to a person's group of friends, there are these cliques and groups of friends, which I'm calling things that's closed as a prat. You might have 10 close friends and it's closed. But you're not opening up to the klal. That's an example where there's a prat, but there's no klal. Going over to new people, expanding those groups. We have in the parsha, in parsha Re'eh, when it comes to Yom Tovim, where you're spending time with family, which is a prat, you have to include the ger, and the levi, and the almana, the poor, the weak, those who are alone, those who may not seem as cool as we are. Open up that prat to the klal, include others, be friendly. Though that person might not drive the same type of car as me, the same doesn't live in the same type of house as me, or doesn't send to the same school or yeshiva or camp. It's an example of taking the prat, your groups of friends, and expanding it to the klal. So the Katzker says, that's what it means. Re'e anochi nosein lefneichem hayom. Re'e, you should see. You should see, I'm giving to you lefneichem the klal. Moshe Beinu is explaining to him, I'm presenting to you a prach of a klal. I'm presenting to the tzibur all these different options. Lefneichem, you as a tzibur. But re'e, but you have to see within it your own perspective, your own unique perspective to see as the individual. It's about balancing between the re'e and the lefneichem, between the klal and the prat, the individual and the community. In all these aspects we went through, in family time, in learning. So Tzvi Tzadik, the Blushever, explains in the Pasuk, Re'e Anochi, Nosein Lefneichem Hayom, what it means is, you should see, I'm giving you today, Hayom, the Zohar writes, whenever the word Hayom appears, it refers to Rosh Hashanah. I'm giving to you Hayom Lefneichem, Lefneichem, the days before Hayom, the days before Rosh Hashanah. Lefneichem is a reference to Elul, which is the Lefneichem Hayom, the days prior. I'm giving you these days to prepare yourself, and how should you prepare yourself? As a bracha, Asher Tishmu, that you should listen to the shofar. To listen to the shofar, those same kolos we heard at Har Sinai, which is a reference to the tzibur and the yachid. We saw at Har Sinai, there was this cloud, the Torah just came to Moshe Beinu and to Am Yisrael as a whole, but we all saw, and we all shomim, we all heard our own unique way in that framework, balancing between the cloud and the prat. And that's what Rosh Chodesh Elul is all about. Hearing the shofar in the tzibur, but also in your own individual way. And that's what Blushever writes, the pasuk of Re'e Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Kala is the exact gematrias Tiku Bechodesh Shofar, to blow the shofar in the month of El. It's balancing between the tzibur and the yachid, the klal and the prat. And that's the Gemara tells us we're going to be judged in Rosh Hashanah kivnei marom, like sheep who pass through, like a roa, like a shepherd counts one by one. Why bnei marom? Why kivnei marom? Because a flock of sheep is a tzibur. They're part of the tzibur, the same flock. But Hashem's going to judge them as the individual as well, as they walk one by one through that little gate. He's going to recognize the yichidus and the tzibur, that klal and that prat. And this is an amazing, amazing lesson for chasen and kala, for someone getting married, about tzibur and individual, about being independent and dependent, about the alone time and then the family time, about when you get older and have kids, growing with the community, with the tzibur, yet raising a family, being private and being public, and having that proper balance. There's a beautiful story. Once a Menahel of a Kolel, Rabbi Yitzchak Rosenthal, he went to ask a shaila from Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. And it was a difficult situation. He wanted to know, he was in a financially stable circumstance. He wanted to leave the administration of this Kolel. He wanted to just spend the rest of the time learning. Being an administrator takes away a lot of time from learning. And so Rav Yitzchak Zalman Meltzer says, I'm going to tell you a story with the Chavetz Chaim. One time a Talmid Chacham, who was a messenger of the Rabbanan, was out there doing a tremendous amount of things for a number of years in Yeshiva Slutsk. He wanted to stop his involvement in the Yeshiva. And he wanted to go out and learn. So he wanted to ask a shaila whether he could leave the yeshiva and stop doing the administration and sit and learn. So he traveled to Radin to ask the Chavetz Chaim his advice. He explained to the whole situation, the Chavetz Chaim, and my mind is all over the place. I can't focus on davening. And I'm busy davening. I'm concerned with that almana. I'm thinking about that person wants to give money. I just can't focus on my own life. I want to settle, maybe part of a smaller kila, less responsibilities. The Chavetz Chaim listened very carefully. He said, okay, you should be batzlacha. So he left, he said, thank you so much, and he went off to start his small kila, go off on his own without any concerns of running yeshiva and fundraising. When he's about to leave the house of the Chavetz Chaim said, I have just one question before you step outside that door. How much does it cost to buy a pair of shoes? So the guy said, I don't really know. It's been a while since I last bought a pair of shoes, but I think it's about whatever price he said. Okay, he said, thank you. He's about turns around, he's about to leave again, and the Chavetz Chaim said, wait a second, how much do you think it costs the shoemaker to make a pair of shoes? And how much profit do you think he makes from the costs until the sale? I'm not a shoemaker, I've got no idea. So he said, let's figure out together how much you think it would cost. From the making the leather. So they came up with some price and some estimate of the cost of making a shoe and then the price of selling the shoe and the profit. So they figured it out. Then he asked him, could you only find shoes from a shoemaker, or sometimes could you find them, you could buy shoes that are made from other people? Does he only sell his own shoes? So he says, in the shoe store, they sell his own shoes that he makes personally, and he sells shoes that are made from the manufacturer. So he says, which ones are more expensive? He says, well, the one made by the shoemaker himself, the handmade ones are more expensive from the ones made in the factory, because those are mass made, and they could lower costs in the factory. So he says, who's wealthier, the shoemaker or the manufacturer? So he said that clearly the manufacturer is much more expensive, much wealthier. He's making mass producing these shoes. And with this, the Chavetz Chaim explained to him that if you're going to stop your Avodas HaKodesh as part of this large yeshiva, part of this large community, so you're not going to be making as much money. although personally you might be losing out. As an individual, you might be losing out on your tefillah. But the amount of zechuyos that you're building up, and the schar that you're tremendously creating, with all the help of this massive yeshiva, that's able to override the individual loss that you're making. If you're going to leave it and go to the small community, start a small village, a small shul, you're not going to have those zechuyos. And therefore he advised him, you're much better off staying in this position, even though you're making a tremendous sacrifice as an individual, by helping the tzibur, this schar is tremendous. And that's the lesson. We all have to know that there's always that balance of how much we can give up of our own time to the tzibur, how much we have to dedicate to our own lives, our spouses, and our children. It's always finding that proper balance. Amir Tosham, we shall be zocher, that we should enter into Elul this coming week, prepared for Rosh Hashanah, the Kivnei Marom, that we get judged favorably, both on a communal level and a individual level. And we should be zocher to spend Rosh Hashanah together in Shalayim, the Kulashem Amitas Meher V'Yameinu. Amen.